Hey, Julian, listen to this. The bosses at Cambridge 105 Radio, they're giving us an extra 30 minutes.
Lucy, I've always liked them.
That means there's more time for community interviews.
And more about local entertainment and theatre.
And there's more time for requests on Jukebox Friday.
Join us for Cambridge Breakfast, weekdays on Cambridge 105 Radio, from 7 to 9.
30.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Time for Friday Food Club now, and we're joined in the studio by Gela of Cambridge Food Tours. Since 2012, been sharing her love of food and Cambridge with the locals and visitors with her award-winning food walking tours. I'm very intrigued by this, and I want to know, first of all, well, good morning, thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
First, just tell us, how did this all start?
My background is in hospitality industry, and I've always been in love with food and travel. As a girl of 13, I was planning out the holidays for my parents, and I'm very well known for my famous shortcuts, which are not very shortcuts, but take you to places which you wouldn't sort of expect to be there. And so I've lived abroad a bit, and I had my own restaurant, and I worked in various hospitality industry outlets. And then in the 90s, I started working for one of the major retailers in the Netherlands. And I was heading up all the fish departments and ready meal departments, like you have in France, mm-hmm. like very nice counters. And we're making all the food in the shops ourselves. But when we grew, we had to outsource a bit. I moved to Cape Town with my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And Cape Town is food heaven. We came here in England, and I didn't work for a while because two young children. And then I decided to go back to work, and I thought, what am I going to do? Worked in travel a bit, but that's when travel changed. A lot of people started doing things themselves. Mm. Came across food tours in Rome and Delhi, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Never really thought outside the box, actually, because I'm involved in a charity in South Africa, the Dreamcatcher Foundation, and they do community walks, which includes food, but never thought, oh, I can take that outside a community into a real city. And that's how it started. And actually, I've never at that time been on a food tour myself, but when I go and visit the city, it's what I do. Mm-hmm. Food is on top of the agenda. I always take a physical map because Google Maps doesn't always work. I follow my eyes, and it's amazing where you end up to.
It's like the lady who sort of worked out the first London A to Z by the sounds of things, who literally did the whole of London by walking around.
I do. And when I came to Cambridge, because having lived in Cape Town, although Cape Town is wonderful, I miss the agriculture, and I walk with my two young children hours and hours and hours. And again, even yesterday, I came across a spot in Cambridge and there was a small allotment site. I thought, really? I've been there so often. And still, Cambridge got so many surprises. And that's where the food scene is all. So when I started in 2012, I decided, oh, well, this is for tourists. So typical British food.
Yeah.
Well, however, if you look into the history, it's not so British at all, actually. And then a few months later, Delicious UK magazine came on a food tour, and I did a one-to-one, and I included a lot of international food. And she raved about the international food scene, because 7 or 10 years ago, Cambridge was seen as a clone city, and she was so taken by all of it, and I thought, I've got to change it. And so I started changing. And to bring the word out was quite difficult. And then I ended up at TripAdvisor, and then the ball started rolling. And then,
because there was, you mentioned the way the city was perceived.
Yeah.
And the centre there was the survey, wasn't there? I forget how long it was, 5 or 6 years ago, which just said that our shopping areas were a clone and they're exactly the same as everywhere else. And that doesn't, to me, that's not the city I recognise today by some distance.
Now, I only had a conversation with somebody and who is well known in Cambridge, and he said, oh, there's nothing exciting in the city centre where the main shops are. Oh, I said, come with me, I'll show you. And he was slightly offended, because even in the city centre, because how many people go into Baldhope Lane? There used to be a Brazilian lady with delicious sweets, and there's so many hidden places hidden tucked away. But we go a lot to Mill Road area as well. I remember the call from Sam, I think it's about 4 years ago, oh, we're open now. I said, where are you? Hooper Street. That's the end of Cambridge almost.
It's about the corner from here.
Yes, I know.
We claim it's the centre.
At that time, we didn't go to Hooper Street. And then I took the guests there for the first month. They didn't pay for it. And they loved it. And
well, so, where is this on Hooper Street?
In the entrance of the rail track, the brewery.
It's the brewery, yeah.
The brewery.
Oh, the brewery, of course. Yes.
And even then, so when I take people, I said, look, we are going somewhere. They said a rail track. But believe me, because at that time I didn't have any street food. You could only see the rail track and the sign. And
I used to have my car repaired right at the bottom. Yeah. There's it might still be there.
No, he just retired.
He's just gone. Okay,
yes,
a little
he's
workshop
just retired.
There.
Yeah. It's part of the complex. So what's this space?
Yeah.
Yes. and so it's very interesting. And still, and when I cycle to Cambridge, it's sometimes dangerous because I see there's some changes and I stop instantly with the bike. I've had people crashing into me in the back because when I see something changing, often I stick my head through the door, ask the builders what's going on.
There does seem to be quite a lot going on, lot of changes at the moment. We have been speaking to the guys who are doing Vanderlyle on Mill Road, and we've been saying to each other, and to them actually, it's an interesting spot. You've chosen Mill Road. You're offering something quite different to what's available on Mill Road at the moment. Is this the start of something new
well,
for Mill
do you
Road?
Know, I lived in Cape Town, and one of the people who got me into gardening is Rubens, is a chef in South Africa. And just before we moved to South Africa, he moved from Cambridge to South Africa. And he worked in a small bistro where is now, there used to be the burger place. Oh, no, Mauricio is there now. There used to be a bistro or something.
It was the Loco or something?
Before that, in the 90s.
The Italian place, was it?
Yeah, but in the 90s it was something else. It was a bistro. And he was the chef there and was quite high-end at the time. So it was already, and then a change. But I definitely think there's a lot more going to happen in Mill Road. The prices are very high in the city centre. And some people who settle in Mill Road said, well, this is where the people live.
It is interesting because I used to work at what I used to describe as the wrong end of the King's Road in London. I met with a friend who worked there with me earlier in the week. And of course, it's no longer the wrong end because it's spread all the way down.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if almost the same thing is happening here to the Mill Road from the city centre, based on what you described.
Yes, well, exactly, because I find it very sad that so many small independents have to close business for various reasons. I won't go into it; it's too political. But and then I know people put an offer in for shops, and it doesn't get accepted, and the shop is still empty. And
so there's going to be a turning point because landlords aren't going to be happy with empty shops for very long, are they?
You would think
They may want the higher rents, but when they don't get them, they have no choice. Yep.
But I want to go to the bottom of how many of the chain restaurants are still paying the rent they should be paying.
Well, okay.
So
yeah, we know that landlords renegotiate and somehow manage, the businesses manage to renegotiate with the landlords, and I guess the small independents don't have the same power.
No. And so one of my favourite clothes shops had to move out, and yes, it's a sad thing.
If you speak to somebody like, say, Tim Haywood, well-known Cambridge food writer, he'll tell you that that London, obviously, is a thriving food scene there. Bristol, Cambridge, and I wonder if there is anywhere else really like that. Is that, and what makes Cambridge so special, so different when it comes to the independent food scene?
Well, a lot of what I've been told, some of the big restaurants from London, they start in Cambridge because it's been said if you manage to run a business in Cambridge, you can do it anywhere.
Really?
However, I don't know if it's true, but I've been told so. But that didn't work for the pint shop, unfortunately. The Oxford is very difficult as well. So it's all the problem with Cambridge is it's quite close to London and it's a struggle. So if you want to have something different, it's easy to nip over to London. It's 45 minutes. Okay, it's a train journey. If you go, my children are now in Nottingham and Leeds studying, and then you see, God, there's so much variety. It's too far away from London, so there has to be something else. It's happening here, but the struggle is it's is the finding the right place, because I know BrewDog has been looking for 7 years already, for or longer, for a location. They can't find a location. Okay, that's the
big thing. Calverley's find somewhere at the bottom of Hooper Street, and they seem to be making a success of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they sometimes say, oh, we want to move. Says, no, you shouldn't move, because this is what you are. And there's so many, we have so many examples. Look at Kevin Brew House now, that used to be a pub. Everything failed on that spot. Mm. They move in, and it's a success story. Petersfield as well. I mean, although the previous restaurant was really good as well, it's incredible. So there's a lot of small places and small shops as well. And so what I try to do, I do a really good mix of small shops, street food, and we take people to the market.
Mm.
And we have a lot of locals and semi-locals from within an hour's distance. And they say, we never would have gone to the market. And then they come back, say, God, the variety, there's so much. And what comes out of it, the Nigerian lady, she's got now a cafe in Newmarket Road, just on the top and close to the roundabout. That place has changed so often. I haven't seen her market that often, but she's got her own clientele. She is now on delivery. So from the market, you can actually start your own business. So it's really good.
How booked up are you in advance? Do people...
The gin tour is pretty much booked up.
Why, well, they're not surprised.
Is that the gin tour,
Well, that's funny, because a few years ago when I started it, and on the second tour I had only three people, and they were all repeaters, and I said, this is not going to go anywhere.
Same ones every week.
And they said, no, stick to it. And I'm glad I did, because what we have on a gin tour a lot, a group of... Well, and not only women, sometimes mixed as well, but a lot of girls, they get, let's go for a day out, and then they go on a gin tour. And some people book it as a private tour.
Yeah.
Of course, yes, Brexit has affected the business a bit.
And the food side of things, well booked out in there as well?
Sorry?
And food tours itself as well booked out?
No, more the corporate side.
Okay, interesting.
So because we do a lot of corporate as well, and at the moment we're fine, because up to May, because still a lot of bookings. We've got soon a treasure hunt for a big company, and they're coming with 80 people. So they're going to do a treasure hunt around the food scene. It's something we've never done before, but I always say, if it doesn't exist, I'll create it, because I know Cambridge, I know what's possible, and it's only possible because we have a very close working relationship with the local independents.
Mm.
My business is based on responsibility and sustainability.
Mm.
It's not, because people from London who have similar businesses, they say to me, you shouldn't pay for the tastings. Yes, I do.
Mm.
They're not running the businesses to facilitate us.
Right.
They run a business because they're a business, but they're really happy we take people there, because even some very established businesses, they see a really good feedback and people come back. And it's great to hear, yes, we've been back, we've done this, and it's good.
That's super. Well, Gail, lovely to speak to you this morning. Thank you ever so much for coming in. I hope you can pop by again as well. Going anywhere nice to eat tonight?
Tried it at home last night, because I'm a sort of keen chef as well. And last Saturday, I did with Kurika Tapas, I did a molecular sort of cooking class. I struggle over the words, but it's all these little drops and stuff, and it was fascinating.
Oh.
And last night, I did at Signorelli's mozzarella masterclass.
Mm.
Very nice.
And it was more difficult than the chemicals, because you got to stretch it. And I watched it, and it's just like making a sourdough roll. No, it wasn't. And it was great. But they flew in yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock from the Malfi Coast, and they're now back on the plane already.
Oh, my goodness. Good luck to them.
I think, Ella, what I'm going to say is, you really must come back. We have to have another chat. There's a lot more questions I've got for you.
Yeah, much to say. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
8:46. Good to chat to Gerla today. Actually feeling quite hungry.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I need one of those food tours now.
And didn't she mention a gin tour?
She did. Yeah, we can definitely do that. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Right, Louise?